Before I begin, I would like to recognize our youth choir that's here today. Not only are they singing tonight, but many of them will also go to Mass again tomorrow morning. Now, they may just now be realizing that, but they're here, and that's amazing. So I want to thank you all for your talent, your willingness to be here and to lead us in song and in prayer. So thank you very much. I have with me one of my favorite books, the Encyclopedia of the Saints. From Aaron to Zygmunt, Our Sunday Visitors Encyclopedia of the Saints, second edition. And even though it's the second edition, they're already behind because this was published at the end of Pope Benedict's pontificate. And, well, Pope Francis, he's already been hard at work. So there are 49 on this list, and he's already added like 8 or 9 since then. So there are a lot of saints. There are a lot of saints. So many of these in here have barely any information. Just names and some dates, the day that they're celebrated. The names go on and on. There are so many witnesses. There's so much to dive into. The stories of the saints go on forever, it seems. And they all desire for us to join them. And these are just the named saints. I think sometimes we get that scripture from Revelation a bit confused. The 144,000, they're not all of those who are in heaven. That's not the end of it. If we pay close attention, soon after John says that he had a vision of an innumerable multitude, a multitude beyond number. To limit it to 144,000 is to limit it only to the Jewish people and the tribes of Judaism. A multitude of others right behind them. And that many of their names, just a few of their names are inscribed in this book. There are in this book at least one former satanic priest. There are prostitutes, former prostitutes. There are cowards, murderers, criminals, people who have done all kinds of things. In this book is the Pharisees' worst nightmare come true. Jesus Christ calling sinners not only to eat with him, but to everlasting glory with him. This is everything that the Pharisees were worried about. He eats and drinks with sinners and prostitutes. And then he went and made them saints. It's an amazing thing, really. Now, some of them are your quintessential, you know, the saints that we often think of, those who almost seem to be born saintly, who lived near perfect lives. But that's only a few of them. Many of them did not. Many of them lived lives that were far from perfect. And yet, in the end, they accepted the grace of Jesus Christ. They accepted the grace of Jesus Christ that called them to be fully who they were called to be. And that same grace is available to each and every one of you. No one in here would have said, "I'm a saint." Not a single one of them. If they did, they wouldn't have been in here. And so if you're sitting here thinking, "I can't be a saint." Well, maybe you won't be a named saint. Maybe there won't be a canonization process in which your name will specifically be named, and yet you are called to be just that, a saint, a witness to others. There are interesting stories in here. There's a story of Saint Columbo, who chased the Loch Ness Monster. There's the story of St. Patrick, who encountered werewolves. Did you know that? St. Patrick and the werewolves. Look it up. It's true. Well, at least that's the legend. G.K. Chesterton once said, "Fairy tales do not teach children that dragons exist." Dragons, monsters, whichever way you want to. But he said dragons. I think of monsters. "Fairy tales do not teach children that monsters exist. They teach them that the monster can be defeated." God loves to take a defeat, a sinner, someone who has fallen, who's incapable of being raised back to goodness. God loves to take that tomb of sin and destruction, despair and dishonesty, and turn it into glory. That's God's favorite thing to do. Let that grace work on us today. Let their witness work on us today. We are called to be part of their number. And what a glorious number it is.